Thanks, God. Okay, we're continuing the Rambam Hilchas Chiya Matana Perik Yud Beis Halacha Yud Aleph, Chapter 12, Law 11. Maybe we'll finish. It's a little bit, it's quite a bit of territory to cover. So we're continuing with this idea of a person gifting to one person and then saying, and when the first person dies, it goes to the second person. We're continuing this idea, but bringing in more factors in this to complicate things. So let's say he gives to a first guy, right? And then when he dies, goes to the second guy. So let's say this first guy has some certain debts and some creditors on him. Remember we said the guy who gets it first could use it all up, right? Except for the, he could use up the profits, what do you call it, the fruits.
Yeah.
But he can't really use the principal. But if he does, he's not the greatest guy in the world, but it's doable, right?
And his people influence to do it.
But he can't give it to his sons.
No.
Remember, we said he can't give it to his sons. So remember all that. So now we're going to add some other things now. Amen. Let's say the first guy who's going to receive all this happens to have an outstanding creditor. Or the ksuv of his wife that he subsequently divorces. Okay, now there's people he owes money to. He's inherited, or he's received from the first guy.
A gift.
And now, you know, can he give away principal or whatever for these creditors or his wife? Ubala bezdin lisparei min chasen. He's going to bezdin to pay out the creditor or the ksuva from what he has received in those assets from the deceased.
Are you demanding it, or he just wants
well,
to
people
pay
want to collect their money. Where else is he going to pay? He's divorcing his wife. He's got to pay out a ksuva right now.
But he's gifted it already.
Not by him, the receiver. The receiver. The guy received it, and he only has as long as he's alive. Remember? So, Afal Pisha Rishon Kaim, even though the first guy is still around, the receiver is around, Ein Bezdin Magbin Osam Miguf Anachasim. Bezdin cannot collect and to pay out those debts from the principal of the Nachasim that he has. Right? Even though we said, wait, Elamina Peres blood, only from the fruits, from the profits that come out, Shomim Lehem, we evaluate. Now the question is, we said, wait a minute, if the guy transgressed and he gave it away to other people, at the end of the day, it's existent.
Yeah.
Right? So why can't he get away with this? So he says, that's not exactly the same thing, because that's when he gives, because in these cases, when you gift someone or sell something, that's what you're selling. Here there's a debt. Why does he have to collect from what was left over? You could pay off from your other money.
Yeah.
This is a debt that's being collected as opposed to a gift that's being given.
I thought we said that's all he had.
No, we didn't say that's all
what?
He had.
No. We didn't say that's all he had. He wants to pay out. The guy, the first receiver says, I got to divorce my wife. Let me pay out from what I just got from
him. He has other funds from which to pay.
Yeah. Well, if obviously, and even if he doesn't, he's going to have to do something else.
Is there a shkizmara?
I'm not talking about shkizmara. It's not important here. Got to stay focused. The person received the gift, and he has to give it after he dies. It goes to the other person. We already said there's certain limitations what he can do. So even though technically he's not supposed to sell to others, but if he does it, will hold. So why can't he just get away and pay off his debt and pay out the ksuva? Because that's different. Gifting is one thing. If I owe somebody something, then don't pay it out from what you received. Pay it out from other money that you have over there. That's why we don't allow that, except from the payers. The payers, he's allowed to do whatever he wants with the payers. But from the principal, why use your principal when there's other money there? If he doesn't have any other money, I don't know. But basically,
can't do it because then they'd be called a Russia.
Okay, but he's going to court to pay it out. He can pay it out not in court also. Yeah. It's really not good. He's just saying that they're taking him to court.
Yeah.
But he can pay it out not in court, right? Now, that's case number one. Case number two, what if same scenario, but what happens is, Mesa Rishon, the first guy who received it, dies. Okay, now, Ubo Bachova, now the creditor comes, the Ishto, or the wife that he had divorced, or not divorced, she collects when he dies, Ksuva.
Sure.
Ligbos, because they want to collect from these assets, even from the profits that come, Ein magen lam klum. They don't get anything. Why do they not get anything?
Because
it's already gone to the second guy. They don't get anything. Everything belongs to the second guy as the first guy dies.
It makes sense because it's like it's in trust for the second guy.
Right? Afila son apotiki. Even if the first guy said to the guy that he borrowed the money from, or the ksuvi says, I'm making it payable to this property they've had. It's called an apotiki. When you specify, yeah. I'm, let's say he gets married after he has this money. He says, now I owe you a ksuv, and it's on these assets that I've received. And that's making a stronger lien on it. Or he borrows from someone and says, and this I'm specifying that this is what you're going to collect from. Or she yichton lishto b'ksuvi, designated to collect from this for the ksuva. Yeah. Still, in government of chasam elkum, you can't collect from this property. It's all when the first guy dies. El harayim shishol belongs to the second guy because they've been entrusted to the second. They're in trust for the second guy. Halacha Yud Beis really could be three halachas, because it's a long halacha. It's divided up into three sections. So if we just look at it as three separate halachas instead of one halacha, it's not as daunting.
We can digest it.
Shchiv mara she'omer le'isha penuya. A guy who's about to die, he now is going to tell a single woman, very important, single woman, he says, Nechasai olach, my property goes to you. And after you die, Leploni goes to another fellow. Now, what makes this unique is that she's a single woman now who can now get married after she receives this money. And that creates all kinds of changes in halacha because what the husband is allowed to take or not. And that's where we're going to mix in over here. So what happens? Then she goes and gets married.
It happens.
Right? Now, of course, you should not... People should not give her ideas to marry this guy because you'll see she'll be able to deplete the assets because of this. Just like we said, you don't give advice for someone to sell. But she just happened on her own to marry the guy as opposed to people saying, I got great financial advice for you. Go marry this guy. But anyway, so what happens? So now the first guy's dead, right? And now the bequeather is dead. She's alive. She's got all this money. Technically, she has what? She has the fruits. And not a basic principle. Now she gets married. When she gets married, with the law is always a baal, a husband who marries a woman, and she has properties. Lokehu, he's considered as if he's a purchaser of the wife.
She doesn't really own it though. She's in trust for it.
It doesn't matter right now. Right. Remember what happens if she's in trust and she sells it to other people. It's done. Right.
Ooh.
Remember I said it's done.
Why?
So now. The husband now, once a man marries a woman, it's like he's a lokeach. It's like he has the use of her assets and will have his assets. It's like she sold it to somebody.
So now, Mr.
Two. And the second guy cannot take from the husband because it says the halacha is when a woman marries a man, her assets are as if she sold it to her husband automatically. So just like we said, if you're person A, and when you die, it goes to B. If A sells the assets, he sells the assets. We don't even call the person a Russia.
So the matchmaker.
The person, the financial advisor who tells her, go get married so the assets can go to your husband. That guy's a Russia. But the woman can marry the guy. It's no different than if she sells it. So that's allowed to be done. What?
The Shadchan's a Russia.
Whatever. But only if she knows so it's for this financial business. But wait a minute. Let's say this is when she was single. Now let's say it's different. She is now married before we start the game. And the Shchiv Mara says, I'm giving it to you now as you are married. But she knows she's got a husband.
Oh.
If she says to her while she's married, but he's still gifting to her, he says, Nechas Eilich, I'm giving my property to you. V'achareich leploni, and I want to give it to somebody else totally different after you die. Okay, Umesa, now she dies. Here's an interesting change. Now, Hasheni Mosviral, the second guy could take it from the husband. Why? Shekevin Shezochsa, but Nechasim Al Tznaizek. Because how did she get this to begin with? The man knew she was married. And if the man knows she's married, she knows that generally the husband could have rights to what she has. But he still says, I want it to go to a second guy. That's preempting, and it's like he made a condition that I don't want your husband to have anything to do with it.
Right?
Since she received the property on this condition, when she's already married, so the guy knows she's married, and he's still saying, now when she's single, He's saying, and it goes to the other guy. Well, now she went and got married, just like in any other case. Anybody, you give it to him, the first guy, and he goes and sells it to somebody, but you said the second guy, doesn't matter. You're the total owner. But when she is already married, so the guy knows she's already married. She already knows that the husband is there. And if he still says that you go to a second person after you die, that means it's as if he's saying, I don't want your husband to have anything to do with it, and that's part of the condition of this. Technically, a guy could say, I'm bequeathing it to you, and after you die, it goes to number two. And then if you would add in, and I don't give you permission to sell it, of course he could make such a condition, then that would be limiting the receiving of the person. But we haven't been speaking about that up to now. But here, when there's already a husband that's married to her, the guy knows full well that the husband's there. What's the matter?
It's really going off the edge. It's loud.
So that's good. Okay, so knows that, so it's as if he says, Nimtza kilim over, it's as if he explicitly said, Acharaich, after you die, yikna ploni, the other guy gets it, and lo habal, and not your husband. That's scenario one. Yes?
General question. If a married woman is an only child, and no, and her father dies while she's married, does it go automatically to the husband?
I don't remember. It goes to her.
It doesn't transfer over. It's just
It goes to her, and then whatever, as any other halacha, whatever she acquires after she gets married, in terms of what the husband can use, he can have certain use of it. But I don't know if it doesn't transfer.
Have assets.
We're not going to get into marriage. That's already halachas from before. Let's go back. Stick back. So now let's continue. Part number two, based on this concept, lefikach. Therefore, let's say, when she's married, in the case of the Shchiv Merah, who gives it to her as she is married. So now, Shchiv Merah dies, she has it. She's alive. Lefigo, therefore, Imrachar, if she does sell off her assets while she's married to the guy, which we already said, the husband can't get her assets, right? But Nechasim Elu Kishihi Tachasbal, when she's still married her husband, and now she sold the assets to somebody else. She gets it. She's been married to the guy. Now she sells the assets to somebody else, right? And then umesa takaspa. Then she dies while her husband is surviving her, right? Now, if this normally, what if this was normally not a question of a gift? Well, it's a woman who had assets and she sold it to somebody, and then she died. Well, the halacha is the husband's allowed to take it from the guy's soul because he really had a right to it, and now it was sold. But that's if she owned it coming into the marriage.
There's a reason to kill your wife.
Here she's getting it. So now what happened? In that case, yamdu nechas v'ralkech, instead of the husband being able to take it away from the purchaser, it remains with the purchaser because it's an interesting merry-go-round.
Of the condition.
No. It's a merry-go-round. What's the merry-go-round? We're going to say, well really, he would be entitled to take it from that, the purchaser. Because the husband's always, if you what do you had the thing? You sold to the guy. I was able to use it. No, so now, you know, you die now. It goes back to me. It goes back. Just wait a minute. It just goes back to me. Great. Goes back to me. But the condition that he makes, is the husband doesn't get it. So then where does it go? It goes back to
her.
No. It goes back to the guy who died.
Yes.
And now back to the guy who died, but then it means it goes back to the guy who purchased it. And then it goes back to the guy who purchased it. It goes back to the husband, and then from the husband, it ring around the rosy. So we got to stop it somewhere.
Oh no,
the
universe.
So where are we going to stop it? We stop by the guy who paid the money for it. That's what Rama says. Shim yotze habal miyad alokech. If the owner is going to take it away from the purchaser, mipnei shemrachu kishinus, because she sold it when she was married, which he would be entitled to do that. But wait a minute, if he takes it, he's not supposed to get it. Harei hasheni, the second guy who's waiting in line to get it. He could take it from the husband. He could take it from the husband because the deceased never wanted the husband to get it. Yes. So he takes it from him. But wait a minute. But once he's got it, but the purchaser is allowed to take it away from the other guy. Why? Because she sold it to him. He only is entitled to get what the leftovers is. So vain bishlashta misha haitzi mama, okay, and between the three, who's the one who paid any money for this?
The purchaser.
Therefore he keeps it. You get it straight, you got the ring around the rosy?
Yeah.
She gets it. The husband would like to have rights to it. She went and sold it. Okay. Now she dies. she dies, it should go right to the husband. It should go right to the husband. The person who dies said, I don't want the husband to get it. So now it goes to the second guy after the wife dies. But that second guy can't get it because the purchaser says, what are you talking about? The guy who died never said the purchaser can't get it. Yeah. And therefore, he's saying, I should get it because I was the purchaser. Yeah, the purchaser gets it, then it goes back to the husband. Goes to the husband, goes back to the second guy, goes back to the purchaser. Where's it going to end? Has to end somewhere. So it ends by the guy who paid the money. The other two guys haven't paid anything for it. This guy paid for it. It's logical that he should be able to get it. That's the ring around the rosy.
The fuck stops there.
That's part number two. Now we go to part number three. Maisa, there's a story. Be'echad she'omer. Person says like this. Nechasai le'imi. When I die, my assets go to my mother.
Mom.
Goes to my mother.
Oh.
But when my mother dies, she's an old lady probably, right? Vacharel le'yor shai. They go to my inheritors. And who might that be? Continues. V'haisol bas nesu. And he has a married daughter.
Ooh.
So the man has a mother who's alive and a daughter who's married. The guy says, when I die, I want the first recipient to be my mother. And when my mother dies, it goes, le yor shai, to my inheritors. And presently, the inheritor is his married daughter, who's married. To the man.
He only has one daughter.
Okay? And he only has one daughter.
Got it.
So let's see what happens now. Now, obviously, if the mother dies, then that makes it simple. It goes to the daughter, and then the husband can take it or whatever. But that's not going to be so simple. We're going to say like this. Umesa habas. Daughter first dies. She's supposed to be number two. The daughter is number two. The guy says, when my mother dies, it goes to my daughter. But what happens here, the daughter first dies before the mother dies.
B'chaye
bala. So the daughter dies in the lifetime of the husband. U'b'chaye emavia, and in the lifetime of the bequeather's mother or her grandmother, and then the old lady dies. Now the question is, who's going to get the stuff from the old lady?
Oh my
goodness.
The
husband. Her closest relative.
The rabbi said, well, who is the closest relative? The rabbi said, Ein habal yoresh osir chasim. The husband does not inherit these things.
Right.
Why? Because really all they were was re'uyim lishto. It was fit to go to her. But only what if the first one dies? First one didn't die first. So now her rights as the second one are finished. If the second one dies before the first, there's nothing to talk about. Because the first one's still alive. So the husband had a great potential. He lost the potential when the wife died. His wife never acquired it that way. But how does he get it? Ella achashemesa. After she died. Okay? And therefore, it's not going to go to her. It'll go to whoever is the descendants of the grandmother. That's it. Who that may be.
It's regular.
However, aval im hinicha habas. But what if this daughter who was married, she left a daughter? Hinicha bas bein obas. If she, when she died, had a child, she had her husband, she also had either a son or a daughter who now is in line from the grandmother.
They
can now inherit from the grandmother because that goes straight down the line.
Wouldn't a brother to the grandmother be closer?
Let's say there isn't one. Shemash Bayorshim, when he said it goes to my mother when she dies, it goes to the inheritors. Well, the first inheritor was the daughter, but if she's out of the game, Bafila Yorsha Yorshim, the inheritors of the inheritors are included in that. However, if he would throw in a clause, Vilu Omer Ukeshetomas Haskena, if he says when the grandmother dies, Hare Heim Labiti Meachshav, they will retroactively go to my daughter. When the mother dies, they retroactively, as I speak now. In other words, it goes to the grandmother. But if he makes a condition, when the grandmother dies, whatever, 10 years from now, it goes to my daughter retroactively from now, from today. And at that time, today, the daughter was still alive. Then the husband get it after his wife dies because she retroactively got ownership.
That's a regular gift. That's not a shiv.
But that's the condition of the gift that he made. Okay.
So that wouldn't be any different than the previous first cases we took where
He gives it to A, and then after A dies, gives it to B.
Because then it's going to B. It goes to B, right? Because then the husband's not a roi. He's not fit to inherit. He's actually inheriting it, really retroactively, from the time when the wife was alive.
Is this still called a shiv mara gift?
This was all a shiv mara gift. It just has passed on back and forth. Yep, yep.
Now,
he could do that. You could make any conditions you want.
Can I ask a quick question? If this daughter who was if this girl who was single,
these ifs, why were they ifs? No, I don't know what the ifs are.
Well, anyway, I just it doesn't set well with me. The single the single lady who the first case, the shchiv mara who said to the single lady, you get except when you get married.
Not
at that point,
no. When
he didn't say anything.
When I die, you get the money. That's it.
He didn't say anything.
Right. So the single woman. When she gets married, loses the inheritance to the husband. So basically, I'm asking...
Not loses, the husband purchases it. Purchases it from
her. Okay, whatever.
Purchases.
All right. At the point that she gets the shchiv mara's money, and when she's about to get married, the day before she gets married, could she just gift it to somebody?
If she wanted to, she could.
She could
always gift it to somebody. That's what happens when the husband marries her. He's like, he purchases it from her.
Uh-huh. So a woman would be smart if she wanted to essentially gift everything before she gets married.
Why? Why do you want to give it away?
In case the wedding, in case the...
And what if a person give it to keeps it?
Well, let's say it's a brother or something.
And what if he keeps it?
Well, anyway,
you're going to trust a brother more than a husband? What kind of relationship
well,
are you expecting?
Well, the divorce rate's over 50%. Right. Maybe it's safer to trust the brother than the husband. I don't know.
Well, then okay, let's go on. Yud Gimel. Now we're going to discuss ambiguous language that we have to translate what the person's intent was when he says this ambiguous language.
That was a heck of a thing you did.
Koisev nechosov lebno. A person bequeaths his assets to his son, and we're speaking where he had other sons. Okay, now you got to take out the vav and just say la'achar moso. Take out the vav, la'achar moso, for after he dies. Okay, now that's a very ambiguous expression.
You can't write it after you die.
No, he's saying these words. He writes in the document. He says these assets go to my son la'achar moso, after I die. La'achar moso, after
he
dies.
Will.
Well, but he has, but he hasn't really said anything more. So what's going on over here? La'achar moso. One second. Let me get this straight. Kosef nechasuf levno la'achar moso. After who dies? One second. What's going on? It means as if you're saying from today. No, he said you acquire this from today and for after I die.
Yeah.
That's what it means. In other words, he's right. It's an ambiguous term. It seems he's saying I want him to acquire it today and after I die, which is an ambiguous term. It's an ambiguous term. So what does he mean? We're in 13, right? Again, Hakol Seif Nechasov No. He writes that his asset should go to his son, la'achar moso, but the way the rabbis are understanding what he's saying, it's as if he said, I want to have it from today, and for after he dies. So what does that mean? And after he dies. So what does that mean? So it's a confusing term. So we say, hare haguf shel bein, so now, after the gifter dies. So now, we say like this, we have to kind of split it up. Hare haguf, the principle of what he's giving to the son, shel ben, ek belongs to the son, mizman ashtar, from the date of the shtar in which it was written. Vahaperos, and the fruits, la'av, they go to the father, at shamus, until the father dies. When the father dies, the son has full ownership. Since he said an ambiguous term, I'm giving it to my son, and he writes in the shtar the time where he gave when he did it. He did it, let's say, on the 1st of December. So I'm writing this goes to my son, and after I die. So what does that mean? It goes now and how can it be now and after I die? So we're saying, how do we translate it? The property goes to the son now, while I'm alive, but only the property, and lachar moso, and after I die, then he can get the fruits. So that's what it means. So really, the son owns the property, but effectively can't do much with it, because the fruits, the father gets the fruits till the father dies. So in that period from when the father gave it to him, but he hasn't died yet, it's a very strange situation. The son has ownership of the property, but really can't do anything with it. The father has ownership of the fruits, but can't do anything with the property. So what happens in this interim? And that's what he's saying. Harei haguv shel bein mizman ashtar. The principle belongs to the son from the date of the shtar. Vaperis, and the prophets love the Musa. The prophets go to the father until the father dies. Now, leviga, therefore, ha'av, the father, right now, ain't a yochel limker. He cannot sell the principle of the field because the principle belongs to the son. He already gave the principle to the son.
So he becomes a renter.
And the son, ain't a yochel limker, he can't sell it either. Right? He can't fully sell. What could he sell? Well, technically he could sell the property, but he can't do anything with the property. He technically could sell it, but what's it worth? Because he can't do anything with the property because the father gets to Paris. So really he's not able to sell it either if he generally sells it. That's step number one. Okay? Yeah, what's your question?
I was going to say, he could sell it if he gets a big buck, but the buyer has to keep on letting the
Who's going to buy it? No one's going to buy it if they can't get it. It's not a great deal.
Well, he's going to die sooner or later, so the purchaser knows it's for 10 years down the road or whenever. People do that.
Well, but effectively, he can't sell it because there's really, at this point, there's nothing to sell.
Listen, if you buy a piece of property, there's a 100-year lease on the property.
Let's keep going. So let's say now the father dies. But when he died, there was fruits connected to the ground that still need to nurture the ground. So normally, the fruits would go to the father's descendants because that's something that was the father's that he owned when he died. But no, since it's connected to the ground, they still go to the son who has the property, that he already has written that, and not to the children, because his mind is closer to the son. We figured that he wants to be mochalit to his son because he already gave him the property. But that's if it's connected to the property. What if when the father dies, they're already cut off and they're separate from the property? Or they're ready to be harvested and they don't need to nurture anymore from the property. And then they go to the inheritors because it's not part of the property anymore. Now, let's go back to what Regina said. In the interim, the father can't sell it, the son can't sell it. What if they do? What if the father goes along and he sells it stamazoi, and he doesn't say what he's selling it for? Well, the only thing he can sell is for the fruits. Then mechurim, they're sold, meaning the fruits are sold, but the property is not sold. The father says, I want to sell you this property here. The guy buys it. The only thing he was entitled to sell was the fruits, and that's all the guy can buy. Achamas, until he dies. Okay, ukashiyamus ha'av. Let's figure it out. So what's happening here? When the father sold the property for the fruits. Now, the son really can't do anything to the property anyway because he can't hit the fruits. The son owns it, but he only owns it. He doesn't really have any ownership of it, per se, of usage, right? He has ownership but no usage. Yeah. So the guy who he sells it to can go onto that property every day, eat the fruits, work on the land because it's all for the fruits. But then what happens when the father dies?
He can hop it from the
lukeah. Now, when the father dies, Motzi haben, meow. Then the son can say, get off the property now. Because now the property is mine, and now you got to get off.
And the payers are mine, too.
Now, wait a minute. And if there are fruits that are attached to the land, well, no, not exactly. Because this guy's been working on the field now. We evaluate how much it was, should belong to the purchaser. The kid takes it, but he has to pay
the man money
for that. What if they already were separated when the father died? Or they were ripe already, don't need the land anymore? It belongs to the purchaser because they're not connected to the land. Now let's go the other way now. We say, well, what if the son sells it? Well, what's he really selling?
The land.
He's selling the land, but there's no usage. This is Howard wants him to sell it. The son went and he did what he shouldn't do, but he sold it anyway. So what happens now? The purchaser gets nothing of the fruits.
Right.
He can't get the fruits because they belong to the father. Until the father dies. But once the father dies, what'll happen?
The fruits go to
the whole property and fruits go to the purchaser.
Yes.
Of course.
So that's how we're saying, if really he shouldn't sell it, but if he sells it, the guy does own it. So if he gives him, let's say it was a futures like you're saying, and he sells him the property for $5,000 now, the guy says, that's fine, I could wait. and then 10 years later the father dies, then is the first time that the purchaser can have benefit of the ownership of the field and the fruits of the field. He can't have anything for that. Let's just do one more thing. Mocher habein b'chaya of. Let's say the son sold the property to Howard while the father was alive. But guess what happened? Umeis haben. And the son died before the father.
Very nasty.
And then the father dies.
Congratulations.
So now, what happens? Kishiyamus ha'av, when the father dies, the purchaser now gets it. Why? She'ain love, because what did the father have once he bequeathed his son? The father only had fruits. He didn't have the land anymore. She'ain love, ela peres, you know, the fruits. V'kinyan peres, would you have ownership of the fruits? Ain a kinyan, that's not owning the land, so the land goes to the purchaser at the end. And we'll have to stop here. It was a big chunk.
Boy, what a crazy.